Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
While Chicago adjusts to working at home, the Score is there for you.
I appreciate the tone that you guys have taken and wish more would follow suit. Keep it up.
You guys give us a chance to take a break, and that's what we all need right now.
Thank you for the distraction from the coronavirus. I appreciate what you guys are doing.
We are Chicago's number one sports station, 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score! Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
We go heavy.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
What does the new MLB/MLBPA contract leave the Cubs and White Sox?
That is a complicated question. I would imagine that the whole Chris Bryant, Javi Baez thing has got to leave the Cubs in significantly worse shape. If the whole idea of this season was urgency, win now, because we've got to make a deal for one of these stars, what happened to the trade deadline? Would that be moved if they come back? And will Chris Bryant be moved if they don't start well, if you're into a abbreviated season? I think this one damages the Cubs. I think this is a problem for the Cubs just because of the number of contracts coming up.
Mully and Hall.
I get a kick out of you guys.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Which sports league do you think will be the first to return to action with or without fans? The NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, or the NFL?
I think it will be Major League Baseball. I think there's going to be a season. I don't know how many games. I think that's worth discussing further. And I asked this question on Twitter, at David Hawk, which pro sport do you think will return to action first? And 43% say Major League Baseball, 32% say NFL. I'm inclined to think Major League Baseball.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's a fantastic poll. We'll have to get into that a little bit, but I think we need
interesting
to
results.
The eligibility thing.
Yeah, the I think Porter Moser. Yeah, Porter Moser though was pretty good. Mully, it was fun to talk to him on the anniversary 2 years ago. Loyola was in the Final Four, lost to Michigan, and we asked him obviously about the eligibility question floating around college sports, and today the NCAA will discuss and expected to vote on the measure to grant spring sports athletes an extra year of eligibility. And obviously college basketball coaches want to extend that conversation to include their players, their seniors who may or may not have been deprived a chance of playing in the NCAA tournament. Which way are you leaning in terms of just granting an extra year? Where do you draw the line? It's a lot more complicated than just saying give them an extra year. But what are your thoughts in regard to just the extra season of eligibility for seniors?
You know, I think that you should give them an extra year for the spring sports because they never got to play them for baseball and softball and, you know, track and field. Whatever takes place in the spring, that makes sense to me. I don't know that you can go back and revisit that idea in the college basketball situation, because they did play a season. They did play 20-something games. They just didn't, and they played a lot of these conference championships. Obviously, they had to abbreviate them, and they stopped in the midst of some of the big championships, the big conference championships, the Power Five conference championships. But David, they got a season in, and I get it. It's not fair that they didn't get the tournament, but I think that the complication that comes in with it is really a problem for me. I look at teams that are, I just don't know how that would work. And I think Porter made a great point about recruiting. I mean, you got, if you change one thing, you're going to have to change about five or six different things in order to accommodate this. I almost feel like the tournament is the problem.
Because people made decisions based on rosters and based on turnover, based on attrition. You know, that's the part about college sports that you can always guarantee is there's going to be a graduating class. And it's not just because the Michigan State has a senior might fit into a certain category in basketball. You've got to look at the bigger picture. And I think the bigger picture will mandate and require that they just need to move on. It's a difficult lesson to learn. It's part of the adversity you got to deal with. But I don't think that it's the same kind of issue as it is when it pertains to spring sports. In spring sports, it's a different thing when you have your entire season, your entire year in most cases, canceled. And maybe some baseball seasons and softball seasons began and track certainly began training, but the real bulk of the season has been eliminated. And so you've got to consider that. The question is, Mully, when you look around, we don't know what the economic model for college sports is going to look like when we return. And I know that when you're at a Power Five program, an athletic department, it's been estimated, I think, in USA Today and by the NCAA, that between 500,000 and 900,000, that's going to be the additional cost by just granting seniors an extra year of an eligibility at places like that. So if you extend it to more than just seniors, say you give every, as Porter suggested, freshmen, sophomores, juniors, seniors, everybody yes. gets an extra year. What are the costs, and how are you going to pay for this when you have no budget certainty that you used to be able to count on? I don't know.
But I think that's the problem. And I think if you're saying that it's a fairness problem, is it fair for college seniors to be robbed of this? Well, is it fair for them to get another year of a full year of eligibility and then take their shot? And then presumably, I would imagine you'd have them kind of graduate at the halfway point, right? I doubt mm-hmm. they'd stay academically eligible for the entire year or would have to, but maybe the first year in order to be able, the first semester. I just don't know how that would work. And I think that, you know, one of the things you don't want to do is turn college athletics into any more of a professional proposition than it already is. And right. aren't you kind of doing that if you're trying to bring back seniors? Let's say guys graduate, David. Right now, you can go into the transfer portal and you can go anywhere you want and play. So would that be allowed? Would you be able to get five guys transferring into Kentucky and have a senior-laden one-and-done team?
Yeah, theoretically you could. That's why in my head it's hard for me to equate the two. I don't really look at the basketball argument and equate it to the spring sports argument because I just don't think they're the same dynamic. And I think it's a much different scenario. And then I also look at the reality of, you said something very interesting. You know, the college sports experience, especially in the spring, it's more about the guys, the names we'll never learn and we'll never yes. know and never have to worry about how to pronounce because these are the kind of they toil in anonymity, relative anonymity. And so how many people in that situation, given the uncertainty of the job market, given the fact that you can spend another year in college for free doing something you love, building an education, maybe getting an advanced degree on the yep. on the university's dime, that's very appealing. That's also very costly. So they have to factor that into this conversation as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I do think that there are two different conversations.
Yep.
You know, I think that the college basketball, it just stands out as separate and different than you know, any of these spring sports. And I think there's momentum to give the spring sports another opportunity, to give those athletes another chance. But I can't imagine them doing that with college basketball, just because it would change so much about what we're looking at here. Hey, we got breaking news, David. We
yep.
now have a date for the Olympics. It's not this year. It's next year. Instead of July 24th, 2020, they will begin on July 23rd of 2021.
Yep, all breaking news on the score presented by 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. July 23rd, 2021, the new Tokyo Olympics will begin. You know, I understand that they need to be specific and start planning now. Is that exciting to consider there's a date there? I guess.
No.
I guess. I don't know.
I feel really sad.
Yes.
That the Olympics are canceled, because it's a great, it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, my kids love it. My wife loves it. My daughters, who don't usually watch a lot of sports, will really hang on the Olympics. And I think that it's just a different sports crowd, more people involved. You know, I love the basketball. I knew the basketball wasn't going to happen when the NBA shut down. And I think that it's, you know, when you think about all the athletes and the tip-top shape you have to be in, sometimes we call it tippy-top, that's from your president, I just think that it's impossible for them to get up and running, so to speak. And you know, the track athletes, swimmers, right? I mean, how do you
yeah.
take that kind of break, and how do you come back, and how do you figure out your team? But there's part of me that feels awful for the athletes that were set to be breaking records and setting records. And, you know, it's, you aim for 4 years, you know, you're working your body, you're trying to peak at the moment the Olympics begin. And now you got to start the cycle again and try to do it next year. I think it's a difficult thing.
It is, because they put their lives on hold for this moment. And as we talked yep. to last week, Mully, a Greco-Roman wrestler who trains at Northwestern from Evanston, Robbie Smith, and he's 33, and he's not going to wait till he's 34 to get back in right. Olympic shape, because this is as he's pretty much maxed out. And he talked about the difficulties in accepting the fact that he has to move on, but he has to move on, and he's not going to be part of July 23rd, 2021, because that's not just something he can, you know, he can't commit his time. He doesn't want to mentally as much as physically. I think it's as hard on these athletes, because they're facing so much that they felt like they were there. It's like running 26 miles and you only right. have 0.2 left for a marathon. I'm imagining this because I've never done it. And then all of a sudden at that marker, you got 2/10 of a mile to go. And they move it back another 26 miles. And you're like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? I can't do this.
Yeah, it's like you run 26 miles and then you get to a rain delay that is a year long.
And not 22 minutes long. Mixing my sports and my examples here.
I just, you know, the other element of it is, if you're some, you know, top of your game, you're just like the greatest at some sport, and then you're trying to wait a year, and meanwhile, you know, some 16-year-old has suddenly graduated into their body, and
that's
they're
it.
Swimming laps around you. You know, it's a totally different world.
You know, that's the part of this conversation that maybe we're ignoring, because I just don't know who those people are. But there are
right.
people out there. There are 17-year-olds, 16-year-olds, however age, that are going to use that this next year to develop and mature and blossom into an Olympic athlete that they just aren't today. And those are the people who were hearing July 23rd, 2021, and circling it on the calendar.
Your greatest fan, David, has jumped in here and said that he believes you could run a marathon if you ever wanted to. That, of course, Dustin, who thinks you could play. How many, you could get 4 sacks? And then
I could get 4 sacks, yeah. Let me tell you, if I have to run any further with my golden retriever than I did yesterday or this weekend just to get the energy out of him, I might be in marathon shape by the end of this kind of isolation, because it is taking all that I have in me to get this dog tired out. But I might be in marathon, maybe not marathon shape, maybe half marathon shape.
Do you find it at all creepy the way Dustin views you as an athlete?
You know what? It inspires me. I'm going to do 100 push-ups between the break.
You are. Let me tell you something. That's what Dustin's doing. You are.
You are the Chris Bryant of sports radio, guys.
Just call me Sparkles.
All right. We're going to take a quick time out. It's Mully and Awe, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
If you're going to give the fall sports an extra year eligibility, I think you should give all the athletes. Because what about that kid that's a sophomore playing behind a senior, waiting his turn? He's the eighth or ninth guy, and he's waiting his turn. And all of a sudden, now he loses another year because he's going to still be the eighth or ninth guy behind that guy. What about you had three seniors and you signed three players early? Are you going to let everybody go over the scholarship limit? Because you planned for that. You signed three guys, and there's three guys leaving. There's a lot of moving parts. I feel horrible.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. That was Porter Moser, the Loyola head basketball coach, talking about this. And, you know, I think he makes a lot of sense. And what he's saying, Dustin has already accused me, David, as much as he is admiring you. I'm being accused of being against going into the full sports because he knows Loyola has about their top 10 players are juniors or underclassmen. And he thinks that I'm trying to set them up for another tournament run. That may be the case. I'm not saying he's wrong. But I think that's something to consider. You know, when we talked about teams like Duke back in the day, there was always a hierarchy to your draft class. And by I say draft class, I mean your college year, right? So seniors got the nod ahead of juniors, and sophomores and freshmen weren't really given the same kind of opportunity. They worked their way into it, but they, you know, it's very rare that you wanted that guy to be the guy. I just think that it would be almost unfair for seniors to come back and get to have another season because they would dominate, wouldn't they?
I mean, Loyola is a bad example. I think, there's going to be some competitive advantages and maybe some motivation in arguing one way or another. But there, the fairness issue is more of a, you know, you have 18-year-olds who were looking at a program, for instance, let's say Recruit X was highly rated and chose a program A because program A had a graduating point guard and he knew that that was going to be his opportunity. And they promised him that in recruiting, frankly. And now they have this waiver. So everybody's entitled to a fifth year, even though they've played 28 games and were just deprived the NCAA tournament. So now you have the guy you promised playing time to playing behind somebody who is coming back for a fifth season because they just want that experience they weren't able to get. If you think the transfer portal is crowded now, just wait till that happens, because you will have players going in there at a record pace, and because of the fairness issue, because it's just hard to, you know, go back and, you know, renege on your commitments. This to me is not a basketball issue. This to me is only a spring sports, and spring sports only, because as one texter points out on our Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin text line, you know what? Nothing about this is fair. Stuff happens and everyone needs to move on. I'm not going to be that blunt about it or that crass necessarily, but there is some of this you're just going to have to accept if you're a basketball player who's a senior that was unable to play in the NCAA tournament.
Right. And I think, David, what happens, like Dustin wants the high school athletes to get another bite at the apple. Who wants to repeat their senior year? I mean, you know, Rick Mount's kid, whatever. I mean, you want to hold a kid back and have him play another year so that he can get a college scholarship over another kid who's great? I don't think that we, at some point, you got to stop holding progress up, right? I mean, it's unfair, as a texter said. You know, I've got a 15-year-old. He's going to be 16 this weekend. And he's getting ready for his track season, and they've turned the lights off on it, right?
Right. That's tough.
It's tough. It's not tough, right.
But you know what, Molly?
You know, you get in shape and you want to go.
And as a dad, though, you look at that and you think, oh, and look, every dad and every parent is every mom is human. You look at that and think, gosh, you know, if they had just an extra year, you do that when they're five. You do that when they're four. You don't do that when they're 17 and I just finished my senior year.
Oh,
go back again, redo. That'd be awful. You don't put your life on hold for that, do you?
Well, I mean, you know, look at the homeschooling, you know. I mean, I look around here. We've had, this is a joke, we've had two students suspended for fighting and one of the teachers thrown out for drinking on the job.
That's a great joke, though. You see some clever stuff on the internet.
You do see some funny things online,
563 texter points out something that we haven't really talked a lot about, but this has got to be something to take into consideration. One of the blind spots that I have yet to hear about regarding eligibility for NCAA student-athletes is how the epidemic may have affected their academic status. Considering more than 90% of student-athletes pay for all or some of their education to obtain degrees or careers other than sports, how many will be forced to take extra classes in order to graduate? How will they pay for these extra classes without those scholarships? How many will just not be eligible? I mean, you just wonder about that kind of thing, too.
I mean, I think Governor Pritzker said that the way they're going to handle it in the school system, and I think a lot of schools are taking this into account, is that you get basically the grade that you had when this started, and you can improve upon it, but you can't lose it, right? So if you had, you know, a B going in some class, and God knows that would be great, you get to keep the B as opposed to being dropped to a C because you're not doing enough work. And now you gotta be online and you gotta be, you know, there for attendance and everything, and you gotta do the work, but you don't lose that grade if the work isn't up to snuff. But you can bring your B into an A if you do extra work or whatever it is that you're supposed to do and excel at the class. So I think that's probably fair, but I don't think that's much motivation.
Is that a statewide edict? From the governor?
I read it somewhere, and I think a lot of schools are following it. So I don't know. I can't say that it's an edict. I haven't.
Did Lori Lightfoot, the Mayor Lightfoot, sign off on it? Because when she talks, people listen.
Well, she shut down the lakefront.
I know.
It has become a meme, her standing in front of a sign that the lakefront is shut. But you know what? I don't know if you followed that day at all, David, but, man, everybody was out, man. It was crazy. I believe you and I talked about it at the time as it was happening. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was, and people are starting to pay a little bit more attention and getting, you know, getting the message, staying home, and really looking ahead. Everybody wants to be optimistic about what's next, and they're planning, and I think that's what's happening. You know, when you have, we talked to Jim Phillips, and you have to have a lot of contingency plans in place, and one of them is, in as far as your spring athletes. Look at Northwestern as an example. We mentioned them. Mm. Their women's lacrosse program is one of the most successful in America.
Fantastic.
And
yep.
Their top 10 program again this year when their season began. I think they might have played a handful of games. Notre Dame, for instance, they're like second in the women's lacrosse poll. They get no benefit. They're not going to play their senior season. For a lot of those kids, it'd probably be the first time they've never been to the NCAA tournament. And they usually go deep in the NCAA tournament. Are they coming back? Are they getting a fifth year? And you know that in the context of women's lacrosse in that world, they're recruiting the top talent across America. So how do you factor that in? You know, that's a dynamic she's never had to consider. And that's going on just not at women's lacrosse, but baseball, softball, all the spring sports.
Right.
And then if you multiply that in basketball, that's a can of worms. That's a can of worms that I don't know that you want to open if you're the NCAA.
Yeah, I think it's really a difficult one. I mean, I feel bad for the fall athletes that didn't get to play in their tournament. I think it's awful. And it's really a pity, but I don't know how you make up for that. I really don't. But the spring athletes, it's a little bit different because they never even got to start their season. So I think there is, you know, maybe something you can do. But as you say, you know, we have texters checking in. The Illinois High School Association only allows 4 years of eligibility. Well, obviously, this is what Dustin is talking about. He would want that rule changed so they allow a fifth year. But that would only be for the seniors, apparently. And how does that benefit everybody, right? So it just seems so unfortunate that this has happened to that group. But I don't know how you separate it. I don't know how you really come up with a. I'll be fascinated to see what they have to say today in the college sports world. And
well, I really think they're going to probably come to the conclusion that they're going to grant seniors. This is my prediction, and I'm only basing it on talked to a couple of administrators over the weekend, and you read what you read. But I think that it's going to be considered too expensive to grant every athlete of a spring sport an extra year of eligibility. And I think they will finally conclude that seniors are entitled to that, so only seniors, because that would at least keep the cost contained to a manageable level. Because you're seeing across America, all these colleges and universities, their endowments are being hit, and it's going to be a matter of a math problem before too long, if it's not already. And I think that's going to be what dictates the course of this, because you could make the issue for all sports in the spring or all athletes that are part of spring sports to get that extra year. But when all is said and done, I guess I would be surprised if it's anything more than just seniors who participate in spring sports if they're given an extra year to come back.
And then, David, if you do that, does that mean that you freeze those scholarships? So does that mean if you've got, let's just say, your lacrosse team has six girls that are ready to, women that are ready to graduate, and you have six recruits coming in, does that mean you suddenly have a team that is added by, say, do you have a bigger roster than an opponent that didn't recruit the same way?
That's the reality of it. I think the NCAA is going to have to include a waiver for scholarship limitations, because you can't just go and turn around and say, okay, this unforeseen circumstance, we're going to welcome back six seniors that we thought we were losing, and the six people that we signed in December to take their places. You have to go figure out a new course for your life, because we're not here for you. You can't do that.
You can't. But do you allow them out of their letter of commitment if they know they're not going to be able to play immediately and they want to?
You've
play
got
right
to
away?
Make whatever model you come up with now. This revised model has to keep in mind anything that gives the student athlete autonomy, flexibility, and has their best interests at heart. So if it means letting them out of agreement, then you've got to let them out of that letter of intent.
All right. 312-644-6767. David has a wonderful poll going, and we will check in with his results, and we'll talk a little bit about which sport gets at it first. The race is on. Should it be? It's Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Be nice.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And Dustin, likes to say that David is extremely trendy, but right now he's trending. I'm trying to
is that right?
turn a dusty you, cap. No one said that.
Yeah, okay.
But you know, you look good and you could probably play defensive end.
Maybe a long, long time ago. Not anymore.
But let's talk about the fold.
Yeah, you're referencing and sort of mocking the idea of... before the show, I put together just a Twitter poll. Which pro sport do you think will return to action first? And I posted it at David Haw on my Twitter account. And we've got about 1,500 or so, just about 1,500 votes. And still has 20 hours left before it finishes because these polls stay up there for 24 hours. And MLB leads the pack with 44%. The NFL is next at 29%. The NBA is third with 20%. And then the NHL at 6%. So a lot of people expect baseball to return first. When that is, the earliest optimistic projection is sometime in June. NBA and NHL, probably after that. And then some people out there, 30% of this audience, people that have voted, Mully, believe the NFL will be the next action that we see. And we know when that'll start. You know, that's not until September. So that's a long time to wait for live sports.
Yeah, that's disturbing. Is that what people think? That we won't have any of these sports, that the baseball season will never come back, that we won't have any revival of MLB or NHL? I can't imagine that, frankly. I it wouldn't stun me if we didn't have basketball, if they got to a point where they realized they're not going to be able to finish the season anyway. We're going to have some sort of a playoff. I mean, it could be, you know, whatever, the horse tournament, whatever they end up doing. But they'll do something. And there'll be some form of entertainment from the NBA. I have no doubt about that because I think Adam Silver is leaning that way. But I think we're already seeing a Korean league. And we should clarify all this because a couple of people have checked in about the Belarus league. And I've got a buddy who is talking about what's going on in Belarus with the soccer. That's like the last dictator in Europe telling his people. I mean, some of the stuff this guy has said is insane. He thinks people should drink vodka and you know, visit the sauna. You know, I mean,
drinking less, winning more.
With things being said by a head of state, a relative term, right? Like, outrageous is a definition that we're changing on a regular basis, Mully. But back to the poll. You're right. It's the exception to the rule of having these kind of sports leagues begin. And here I think that, you know, it would be hard for me to envision Adam Silver sort of giving up. And I understand that he's only going to be able to do what the health officials and the professionals and doctors and the best in medicine tell him he can do. But don't you think that they would cancel the rest of the regular season first and maybe do some sort of postseason round-robin tournament, if you will, some sort of structured tournament to determine a champion? I have a hard time thinking that he will let this season end without a championship tournament of some form.
I agree, but I think that baseball will be back first. And again, you know, there's a difference between the Belarus soccer league and what's happening in Korea, where we're seeing teams come back, where they feel that they've gotten a control of the situation and they have players. Obviously, some of them are wearing masks. But just think of the nature of baseball. You know, there are natural separations. There are not many plays where there is, you know, I know there, you know, maybe a band slide. I don't know. Maybe a band stealing bases or bunting. It'd be great if they banned bunting. That was a White Sox joke. sorry. But
it's okay.
Definitely American League teams can't bunt. No. I think that there are very few, like, really bang-bang plays where there is contact between players. So the sport itself, you know, actually, maybe golf is the first sport back. I don't know. People seem to be out golfing anyway, right? I've seen people out on the golf course as I've gone for some long walks.
They're not supposed to be. Not golfing. After Not after last week, the first day that golfers could golf actually legally, there was a lot. There were a lot of people out there, and I think there were so many people that went golfing that I think Governor Pritzker the next day shot it down. You're right. It would probably be golf or maybe NASCAR or something like that. But I think when you talk about the major sports, it makes sense that it is baseball because it's outdoors. And, you know, how do you feel about playing games without fans, Molly? Do you think that's just something that these sports leagues are going to have to accept could be become part of the new normal temporarily until all this passes?
I think it would become a temporary thing, David. Let me tell you something. I have told you this story before. I watched Man United play a game where they ended up beating a team 5-0 because United had the better players and the team had none of its home fans. So it takes away so much in terms of the home field advantage. So in other words, a team that isn't as good as another team can play better with the crowd behind it and the emotion that the fans bring to it, as opposed to this bizarre kind of flat game where the talent completely overwhelmed the opponent because they didn't have any of that emotion. They didn't have any of that lift from the crowd. They didn't have that sense of urgency that comes with fans screaming at you and cheering for you and all the rest of it. So I have watched a couple of events like that. And frankly, you know, it doesn't do a lot for me. I wonder, I think you'd have to change the way you broadcast it, frankly.
You would, because you'd have to figure out some way. Yesterday, while I was on one of these really, really long runs, I was listening to Bears Classics on The Score. And I was listening to the 2007 NFC Championship game with Jeff and Tom, who sounded terrific. And it was a really, I got into reminiscing and remembering where I was that day and that play. But you know what came through more than anything to me during that broadcast was, you know, the intensity of that stadium that day. And you know the intensity that the fans that you can hear in the background, almost like creating that buzz. And how would you be able to, you know, if you have to do it, you have to do it. But that buzz would be missing. There would be nothing to, you know, opening day in Major League Baseball if it doesn't include fans. There would be a result. There would be a television audience. There would be a lot of, you know, people thrilled not to have to watch Netflix for 4 hours finally.
Right.
But
right.
There would be something missing that is very difficult, if not impossible, to replace. And that is the presence of fans who were just crazy about the team that they're watching.
You know, there's a reason that we talk about, you know, who has the best fans? What's the toughest building to play in? And the reason is because it affects the result. So you are now talking about no such effect on anyone, be it a home team or an away team. And I think that would be a big impact. And I think it would favor the more talented team. And frankly, in baseball in particular, the more talented team doesn't necessarily win.
224 texter says Astros would love no fans.
Actually a great point, David. Think about this. We were looking forward to this baseball season for 1,000 different reasons, one of which was the idea that we had a villain. And by the way, you know, the Red Sox, look at what's happened there too.
Yep.
We had a villain, and we were going to have this sort of moral lesson, and they were going to have to face this. This would play directly into their hands. You know, if they came back without fans, I think it'd be a great boost for the Astros.
For the Astros, yes. It'd be very awkward for the rest of us. So imagine, and this is going to happen, if it happens without fans, Molly, we're going to face opening day at Wrigley Field, which would have been today. And if things were normal, today we would be in Wrigleyville. We'd be at a bar. We'd be doing a remote. We'd be dealing with fans on their way to the game. How much would that atmosphere change if we're doing the same thing in 6 weeks, in 8 weeks, whenever it is that we're lucky enough to start this season? If we're opening day at Wrigley Field, they're not letting fans in, and we're trying to create a buzz and excitement because we just love the fact that we got a baseball game to talk about and watch again, but there's not going to be anybody at Wrigley Field except for the players and the coaches.
Well, listen, there would be, you know, there'd be a box score. There would be a way of breaking down and talking about the players. We would discuss what happened and who did what and when they did it and what kind of year can they have. But obviously, it would change the entire complexion of the game. And I really like that idea when it was proposed that maybe NBA teams play, you know, rather than have them go play a tournament in Vegas, why not have them in their facility? And the answer is they don't want everybody flying back and forth. But I like the idea of a closed building as opposed to putting curtains up on some place. Or, you know, hell, if you're going to do it in Vegas, go ahead and build your own little you know, show box type of theater where you can have no fans and you can play games and you have different camera angles and you have every player talking to each other and trash talk, all the different elements that people would like about the game. But I'm telling you, the team with the best talent would win because there'd be no home court and there'd be no fans, and it would all come down to who put together the best team, which isn't necessarily, in the NBA, it probably, you know, normally you get a 7-game series, the best team's going to win it, right? It's very rare that a team would fall apart. But in baseball, does the best team win or the hottest team? In hockey, how often does the best team actually win?
I mean, how do teams get hot, Mully? How do teams get hot in sports? There is something to the momentum argument. And how do you build momentum? Enthusiasm. How do you get enthusiasm? A lot of it from the fan base, the comforts of home, the home court advantage, the home rink advantage, the home field advantage. They call them an advantage because it's been proven to be something that is advantageous, and that comes from a fan base that may not be there. So, look, the NBA may have to do what the NBA has to do. I like your idea of having sort of a Silver City, Adam Silver City, and having a tournament. And Dustin suggests having an NCAA-style single-elimination tournament for the NBA to determine a winner if it comes to that. Let's hope that it doesn't. But if it does, Adam Silver would consider any and all possibilities, so keep the suggestions coming.
All right, want to thank everyone connected to the program. Thanks for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Yeah, it means a lot to us. Thanks for doing it. We're blessed to be on, and we appreciate you checking in every way you can. I want to thank our executive producer, Dustin Rhodes.
They're recovered. They're strong. Something was good in them that worked.
Thanks to our guy, Kevbo. Thank you, Kevbo.
Along with the Z-Pack, which is azithromycin.
That's our guy. And Ray, bless you, Ray. You are one of God's great men.
They say ride it like a cowboy. Ride that sucker right through.
David, great catching up with you, buddy. We'll be back in the morning. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Nebraska and Maryland this fall at Ryan Field. Buy your tickets now at nusports.com.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
That's all I got.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.